Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre. We've been chatting recently with Oriana Riley, the Municipal Program Coordinator at the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. We were chatting about MCAN's new and original contribution to the climate discussion here in Massachusetts. Oriana led a study to produce a scorecard for the different municipal light providers in Massachusetts, the munis, or MLPs. If you remember, an MLP, a municipal light provider, is a local utility owned by the local town. To date, these munis have not participated in efforts to green up Massachusetts' electricity supply, even though they're 14% of the state's total electrical use. So the MCAN scorecard is new and useful information about how to help municipal light and power plants green up. So we began last week by chatting with Oriana about the underpinnings of the study. The first question was how the idea came up. So let's hear what she has to say.
We got interested in municipal light plants, I would say first because of our local activists. We work with chapters in cities and towns across the state of Massachusetts, and we were working on our local clean energy toolkit. But a lot of some of our chapters in municipal light plant towns weren't able to do the same exact kind of policies that people in the investor-owned utility territory that get their bill from Eversource or National Grid were able to do.
So it was the original MCAN activist questions that spurred thought about the municipal the munis. And so then the question is, what did MCAN do?
From that first meeting, we've had four more. So we've had five meetings of municipal light plant activists with about 50 people attending from about 30 different towns.
Which then leads to the question of, why a scorecard?
And then B, we chose a scorecard kind of format because we wanted to kind of provide a benchmark and motivation for the municipal light plants themselves and for the activists to see, okay, well, we got this score of only 45 points, but if we do this policy, that would bring us up closer to the top. So it was meant to be a motivating and guiding format.
So there you have it. Local activist energy resulted in a scorecard for the municipal light plants. And there you go. What comes next is we'll discuss what was the content of that scorecard. Enjoy.
So you have these
different categories, and it's all laid out in the report, which is a very nicely presented report. Those are all in the report. You ranked, you gave everybody a score. And our goal here is not to shame anybody who happened to be in, you know, the 39th town. But what was the best town and what score did they get? Do you remember?
Yeah, so it was Belmont. And they got 89 points
out of 100.
Out of 100.
Well, good for them. Good for
89%.
Them. 89%. And so what is the – and then I looked at the ranking, and it goes all the way down to quite low numbers at the – one of the interesting – so tell me then what is the – kind of conclusion after you've looked at all these utilities and you've ranked them all And you step back and you say, boy, what's the lesson I just learned? What do I now know that I didn't know before?
Yeah, so our base year was 2017. So I can say for 2017, none of these municipal light plants met the renewable portfolio standard that the investor-owned utilities are held to. It was 12% in 2017. So the highest percentage we saw was 9%, and then it was 7%, and then it was 2%. So just to be clear,
that there is a requirement, what's called the renewable portfolio standard. We talked about it on this show for a lot of times. That RPS relates to the big investor-owned utilities, which are like NSTAR, and I mean those guys, right? They have, and it turns out that all of this other 14% of the electricity in all these munis, none of them at this point are also have the same amount of renewable energy in their portfolio. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. And why is that? There was a quirky thing in the report that talked about, because a place like Hull, I would think, is making wind energy right on site. Why aren't they better off there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that gets into the RECs issue, which can be a little bit in the weeds, but I can try my best to explain it.
Yeah. First of all, a REC is REC, a renewable energy credit. It's another one of these acronyms that goes around, right? Okay.
Yes.
And how do you get a REC?
So when you are the owner of a renewable generation, so say you own wind turbines, whenever 1 megawatt hour of wind is produced, is generated by that wind turbine, a renewable energy certificate is produced alongside the actual electrons that are going into the grid. So the electrons from the wind goes into the grid, which acts like a pool. We don't really know where they go. They get all mixed up and jumbled up, and then they get delivered to you at your house, the end user. So the only way we have in Massachusetts to track which electricity suppliers can claim the renewable component of the energy they're supplying their customers is through these certificates. Mm-hmm. So it's our tracking mechanism. The certificates are worth money on the market. The idea is to incentivize in the investor-owned utility world, so you have developers building the wind and solar, and they get to sell the RECs to the electricity suppliers in order to help them finance the development of the project.
The customer, the person buying the renewable energy certificate, would be the big utilities like NSTAR, right?
Yes,
and the people who are creating the renewable energy credits are the wind turbine guys who own the wind turbines.
Yeah.
And the utilities must buy those renewable energy credits in order to satisfy this renewable portfolio standard that says they have X amount of clean energy, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So the difference with the municipal light plants, it gets a little more complicated because they are allowed to be the developer and the utility at the end. So it would be like the developer has to sell the utility, which is themselves, the renewable energy certificate. So what they're doing is they're just selling the certificate to the investor-owned utilities.
Which is why they don't make these, like a place like Hull sells all those RECs, so now they don't meet the renewable portfolio standard, right? So Oriana, tell me, what other kind of conclusions did you guys come to in the process of reviewing the scorecard information?
Yeah, so I think another major finding we were a little surprised by was the energy efficiency programs that are being run by these light plants for their customers are really underperforming. Most of them offer some kind of program.
And when you say the energy efficiency program, you mean this thing like MassSave where they give you a credit for buying a refrigerator and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Okay. So you can get a free energy audit of your home and then...
And new LED light bulbs and that whole thing. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Right. They make recommendations and give you a rebate for buying energy efficient appliances.
Because these munis are their own little self-sufficient things, their energy efficiency programs are not so strong, right?
Yeah. So they're not part of... So if you live in one of these towns, they're not part of MassSave. Technically, you can... If you get gas from National Grid or Eversource, you could use MassSave.
Right.
But right. Some customers are in munis that also provide gas heating, and other customers have oil heat or electric heat. So definitely aren't eligible for MassSave. So the munis provide their own version of like what a MassSave would be. But it's they're not one of the big things was they're not really tracking the effectiveness of their programs. We were able to find kilowatt hour savings from their industry associations, which helped them provide these services because they're so small. It really helps to have this bigger purchasing and administrative assistance.
The kilowatt hour savings is how many kilowatt hours you think that you reduced demand, reduced usage by having this efficiency program, right? That's kind of the metric that people use to say how good the efficiency program is.
Yeah. That's like the standard metric for determining how an efficiency program is doing is how, so there's like a calculation in the Massachusetts put out by the Department of Public Utilities, and you're looking at if I bought this energy efficient refrigerator, how many kilowatt hours a year am I saving if I had bought a non-efficient refrigerator or with insulation, et cetera.
All right. We get the two things where the places where the munis are not doing, I'm sure, what they'd like to do, not being as good as they want. What other things did you discover?
So you're looking for a more positive?
I was intrigued by the idea that the municipal light companies are somewhat less than forthright. Well, sometimes, because there's no bad actors here, right? These are all just organizations, right? But the way the practices come, it's not very easy to get the clean energy information, right? And that some of the transparency of the public information provided by many of the utilities kind of obscures their clean energy behavior, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's another part of doing this report. These are publicly owned. They're owned by municipal governments. They're run by elected boards or boards that are appointed by elected officials in town. So there theoretically could be the ideal energy democracy, but it's really hard to have democratic input as a customer if you aren't able to find out what you're actually being provided with. So we had two issues. One, it was really hard to get the information from the municipal light plants themselves. They really didn't seem to want to share information with us. A number of them did, and we put that in our scoring. And then the biggest thing, we, based on this whole rec issue that we just talked about, we found that at least 16 municipal light plants have been misrepresenting their energy portfolios to their customers and claiming that the energy that they've sold off the REC for, the ability to claim renewable or non-emitting energy, they're telling their customers that they own that and that's what they're providing them.
Yeah, I see. And that's where it gets really subtle, right? Because if I have a wind turbine and I make 1 megawatt of electricity with my wind turbine, I get, by definition, one of these renewable energy certificates. that's worth money. Right? And if I think the word is retire, right? You retire the wreck. Mm-hmm. And then you say, okay, I'm going to put the, I mean, I use that, that's done. I get to claim that clean energy. But if I sell the renewable energy credit to NSTAR, then I can't claim my own energy's clean anymore, right? You can't have it both ways, right?
Yeah.
So in some sense, that's a sort of double representation of that. The wind turbine looks good, but since you sold it, and this is important, correct me if I'm wrong, it's important because there's a market for these renewable energy certificates, and the whole point is to drive the big utilities to build more solar panels. So
exactly.
if the people with the wind, if the munis are selling their renewable energy recs that they made on site to the big guys, then it's not forcing the big guys to build yet another wind turbine, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it floods the market with extra supply, and then the prices go down, and so developers have less incentive to build solar panels or wind other places, and the investor-owned utility isn't forced to create more demand outside of the munis. So we're losing out as a state on building more renewable energy.
And these renewable energy certificates are really important. They're very arcane and hard to understand, right? But they're very important because the electricity that comes out of a solar panel is just electricity. And what's unique and different is this renewable energy credit, right? That's what defines it as being the greenness of it. And that's what all the competition is about. That's where the money is. Interesting. So tell me, given those observations, what do you think about going forward? What are the next big steps? What do you hope happens now that we have this report?
Yeah.
I mean, I assume you want every utility to take it to heart and every muni to take it to heart and try and get 100% score, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we have a network of technical expertise. We have relationships with advocates in town, so we have lots of ways to help any municipal light plant that would like to improve their score or deal with this complex issue.
And at some level, it sounds as if what the call is that MCAN will help climate activists in the muni towns to learn what to do to help guide the municipal power plant in their own town. Right? I mean, that's where the pressure, the pressure comes from, the grassroots in these towns, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Interesting. So it's a bottoms up approach to try and to help the climate activists in the different towns change their utility. Interesting. Interesting.
Yes. So we that's what we've been doing at these past couple of summits. And we're always looking for more people to join in. Mm-hmm. I can say that there are also two bills in the legislature right now that would include municipal light plants in them. So we have the 100% renewable energy bill, and then we have the bill filed by Representative Machino to update the Global Warming Solutions Act to net zero by 2050.
And I know we just had a lobby day to push those kind of bills. I'm sure there'll be more lobby days coming. So tell me, are there any muni-specific, is there a webinar? Is there future meetings? Mm-hmm. How can people get involved? I mean, if somebody's listening to this and they're in a town and they want to try and make their municipal light and power more green, what should they do? I mean, what's the next step for them?
Yeah, this is a great question with perfect timing, because next Wednesday at 7 p.m., we will be hosting a webinar going through the findings of this report card and report and talking about ways to get involved and next steps that you can take.
And that next Wednesday is right now is February 6th, not 2019.
February 6th. Yes.
And so can people sign up to this at the MCAN website?
Yes, absolutely. If you go to our website, massclimateaction.org, and click on the events tab, you'll see the Muni report card webinar.
So, all right.
You can RSVP.
So let me just go back through this then. We're saying that if you are a climate hawk and you look at your electric bill and realize that you are in a a municipal light and power town, you say, oh, my God, I never knew that. Now I know. You can go download the report that you've written, which is also at the MCAN website. And, of course, we'll put a link on the show page. But you can go to MCAN, get this report, find out where your utility ranks, and then go to a webinar next Wednesday night, or with, and I'm sure there's follow-on webinars, and learn how to take action, right? Isn't that the plan?
Exactly. You got it exactly right.
Well, so I encourage everyone out there. I mean, it's a fertile area for making Massachusetts even more of a leader to help the municipal, which, again, I emphasize, we've talked a lot. I mean, it sounds like the report is criticizing, but basically it's collecting this information that no one's ever had before and say, hey, look, we could all be better. Here's where we stand. Here's the roadmap to get better, which is, Oriana, a credit to you to having pulled all that stuff together. But it's a very interesting thing to consider. Well, look, so what we got to do, we should put it down here, Oriana, and we'll say that we'll put up links to on the MCAN blog. We'll have the show posted and links that we just talked about. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. We usually put this, we always put this show on the Facebook page. It's at /massclimateaction, and you can click through and certainly get to the SoundCloud link and find your way around to get to these this very important information in the webinar sign up. You can listen to this show directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, etc., etc. You can also find us on the famous Apple Podcast, the motherlode of all podcasts. So we're going to close where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So, Oriana, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Ted.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Very cool.